I don't know how you're coming into this service this morning, but I want to read just 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. I found this verse absolutely amazing, certainly in encouraging me through very difficult times and through all kinds of circumstances. And this is what it says. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. I think that's a tremendous encouragement for us this morning. Whatever we're doing, wherever we're at, however we feel, that God is generous. And he's able to provide for every situation in which we find ourselves. Our God is a generous God. I noticed in the past week, one of my friends had put on Facebook a post which played in the seven wonders of the world. And the post was suggesting that the seven wonders of the world are that we can see, hear, taste, touch, smell, laugh, and love. As I thought about that, I thought, yeah, I can see that. And each of those are given to us because of the generosity of our God, because that's the way he has made us, so we can experience each of those things. Let's pause for a moment and think through some of those things as we think about the generosity of our God. What have you looked at recently? A person? Something in creation? A scene? Or even something that has made you think, gosh, that is beautiful. Or what about a piece of music? Have you been listening to any music which has actually moved you? I've two or three pieces of music, and one of them I'm going to sing later on, that Goodness of God. And the other one, Yet Not I, But Christ Through Me by City of Light. I've seen myself recently listening to those songs and being genuinely touched by the amazing generosity of God. And even those words that I quoted in the prayer earlier on, whenever it says, just get it here, what gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. Amazing. What about something you've tasted recently and you've thought, gosh, that is just absolutely incredible? Or maybe even in these days of the virus, whenever it's not possible to have a hug, but maybe from some family member, whenever that touch, someone in your bubble, your circle, and you've been able to have a hug and you've just thought, gosh, that's good. Or maybe even some of the smells that you've experienced, the smell of freshly made coffee or freshly mown grass, not just yet maybe, or maybe even aftershave or perfume, and you've thought, gosh, that's so nice. Or maybe even a time whenever you've laughed with someone. You know, one of those times whenever you're going to kind of a helpless laughter and you want to stop, but you feel it's difficult, you can't. Or maybe even experienced love in a close relationship, a spouse, a parent, a child, a grandchild, a close friend, or Jesus himself. And you just are amazed at how that relationship is. And you're almost overcome with love. You know, these are all gifts of our generous God. This is the way he has made us. And the truth is that we can experience each of those things and we can share those experiences. We can be generous to others. The encouragement of this passage is Paul says it's not a command. It's an encouragement, just as people see the reality of our faith, that they see generosity. That's one thing that should be there. We are living in difficult economic times as we go through our pandemic. And particularly as we start to think about how we might be generous towards others and generous towards God. And yet Paul is telling the Corinthians what's happening in the Macedonian churches. The gospel is impacting their lives. They're responding with generosity towards others. They've been going through severe testing, experiencing persecution, extreme poverty, we're told. Some suggest that they might even be discriminated against, losing their jobs and having difficult times. But going through these difficult times, these testing times, they are also experiencing an abundance of joy because they realize what Jesus Christ has done for them. Their identity is not in their circumstances and what they're experiencing. Their identity is in Him and how their relationship is with Him because that's what matters to them. We're told that despite their situation, they're displaying an overflowing generosity because of God's grace shown to them. Paul, as a result of that experience of the Macedonians, is encouraging Corinthians to do exactly the same. Not to allow their circumstances to dictate their generosity. His point is that it's not our circumstances that dictate how generous we are. And it's not just about money here, but it's about God's grace to us. It's about God's generosity to us, that He has provided us with everything that we have, everything that we are, and everything that we long for. Giving and giving generously is a key issue for us. Because it's not just about money. Giving generously applies to our time, our skills, our money, our love, everything we have. Generosity in following Jesus is about being generous towards God, about being generous towards others. What Paul is trying to encourage the Corinthians here on this is encourage them to think, well, why do we give? Why are we to be generous? And he's saying that generosity is part of our discipleship. It's in order to show ourselves as followers of Jesus that we walk in His footsteps. As people see us as generous, then they'll be able to see that generosity comes from God. If He is living in us by His Spirit, then we will be generous like Him. He goes on to tell us that God loves a cheerful giver. Giving generously also provides resources for God's mission. Giving generously enables us to do the work that God calls us to do, whether that's in a financial giving, whether it's giving in of our time and our energy. Our generosity in giving should enable us to engage meaningfully and supportively in the community, for the good of the community, providing for the needs of that community. Our generosity should enable us to provide further ministries, no matter what group of people we're thinking about new outreaches, new ways of communicating the good news of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you in Carmoney for the ways in which you already are doing this. And we can see that with the accounts. And again, I want to say a word of thank you to Tricia and also to the finance team for all the work that they have been putting in to try and get the 2020 accounts finalized. Thank you so much for the work that you've done. And thank you to all who have contributed as well, so that the work is able to continue here in Carmoney and in Central in the ways in which it is doing. And as we are seeing God at work, we give you thanks for that and give thanks to God too. But the challenge is to keep going in our generosity in order to fulfill the call that God has given to us. God is generous. He will supply our needs as we continue to be generous. But also giving generously impacts our lifestyle. As I give more generously to the work of God, then there's a direct impact in my own life. Some of the things that I maybe considered necessary previously become either no longer important are no longer affordable. Generosity causes me to think about what the priorities are to be for me in my life. The sacrifices that I want to make because I see so clearly the generosity of God. And so there will be choices as I seek to be generous as God is generous. Paul goes on to then say, well, look, how can we be generous? And again, let's seek to apply this not just to financial things, but to all areas of our lives. Look at the way Paul encourages the Corinthians to think about their generosity. They give according to what each person has. He states that our giving should be proportionate to what we have. That we make sure and give out of all that God has given to us. If we see God as generous, then we will give generously in every area of our lives. They give beyond their means. The Macedonians give sacrificially, showing their attitude to possessions and especially to their money. Even in desperate times, they gave to the work of the Lord. As a result, they made the resulting lifestyle changes that caused. They saw in their giving a way to demonstrate that they were trusting Jesus for everything, not their possessions. We're told that they gave of their own accord. This was a priority for them. They didn't need to be told or challenged, or their generosity came from their own hearts as they focused on the generosity that God had shown to them. But they also begged for the opportunity to relieve the saints. Here we see compassion and generosity working together. Paul tells us that they actually begged for the opportunity to give. Their giving shows their focus not on their own situations, but in the situations of others. They were compassionate. They noticed that other people were suffering. Other people didn't have what they had. And so the compassion of Jesus was stirring their hearts to reach out to meet the needs of others. Isn't that what generosity is about? Whether it's with our time, our money, our lives. And one of the things that Paul points out is crucial in their generosity. We're told they gave themselves first to the Lord. Before they gave anything, they gave themselves to the Lord, because that's the context in which we show our generosity, whether it's giving time to family, giving time to friendships, whether it's expending energy on someone else's behalf. We do it because God has done something for us. Giving money or giving something else is never a substitute for giving myself to the Lord. Surrender and generosity go together. Generosity originates in the heart and in the grace of our God shown to us. Generosity, how we give. I suppose the challenge for us this morning is in our generosity to God, to the people in our lives, how we're giving of our time, of our energy, of our resources, and of ourselves. Sometimes it's so easy to keep going with all the activities that we're doing, and sometimes people get the small part of our time and our energies. Those close to us perhaps suffer most. God is generous. Generous in his time and his love for us and with us. What is our inspiration? Again, we come now to one of my favorite, if you can have such a thing in Scripture, favorite verse. I want to challenge you to think through the ways that God has been generous to you, maybe even after we finish this morning. Maybe just to sit down in a reflective moment, just to think about the past week and what you've experienced. And maybe it has been tough. Maybe it has been a week that you've been excited about. But just to think in the midst of it, where can I see the generosity of God in this? Developing that thankful heart, conscious of what we have received from him. I think we were thinking about the seven things at the start of the service, at the start of the sermon. Because we are rich. Rich even as we breathe. Rich in the relationships that God has given to us. Rich in health. Rich in education. Rich in shelter and food and clothing. Rich in possessions. Sometimes it's very easy to focus on what we don't have. Maybe what other people have and it looks, and we don't have it. And that leads us to being discouraged and lacking hope. Let's focus on what God has given to us, how generous he's been. As we look at the life of Jesus, we can be inspired by him in generosity. He built up relationships with people whenever they felt accepted and loved. He often took the initiative, noticing people in their situations and very difficult situations at times. He was moved with compassion to act in mercy. He joined in with people in their celebrations and spent time with all kinds of people. Jesus was truly generous with his time, with his affection, getting alongside all people, reaching out to everyone. But his most awesome work is done in the cross. And that's why Paul reminds us he was rich, and yet for our sakes he became poor, so that out of his poverty we might become rich. What an example of generosity in giving. If I have become rich, it's because of Christ. If I have become rich in Christ, how can I do anything else but be generous towards others? Jesus was rich, as all things were made by him and owned by him, including all he has given us to steward. He had perfect fellowship with the Father. He had no sin, and we could supply him with nothing. He is God. And yet, he became poor for our sakes, taking on human flesh, living in poverty with nowhere to lay his head. He was crucified, becoming sin for us, so that out of his poverty we might become rich, so that we could receive the righteousness of God, that we could know sin forgiven. God's generosity towards us means that we are accepted by him. We have access into his presence. We are no longer condemned and judged. We now have a new relationship with God and a new life through his Spirit. It is through his death and resurrection that we are able to receive eternal life from him. Not only that, but he also generously gives his Holy Spirit in order that we can live the life that he wants us to live. He doesn't leave us on our own. He graciously gives us his presence by his Spirit. This is both all the generosity that we need and the generosity that we don't deserve. We are sinners in need of his grace. And yet we have received it abundantly. And that is our inspiration. Those words that I read at the start of the service, whenever Isaiah spoke to God's people and he said, I'm thinking about the generosity of God in that situation, in the coming of Christ. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands. Encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. This is the strength that we need. This is the hope that we need. This is the peace that we need in our hearts. This is the love that we need to experience. This is the joy that comes as we think about the generosity and the goodness of our God. We look to him. As we seek to apply these principles in our lives, we're able to show that abundant living, that it's not in the accumulation of things, but in finding fulfillment in the generosity of our God. Let's pray together. Father, we look to you and we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your generosity, which reaches out to touch our hearts as we think of the so many ways that you have been good to us. You have been generous. And Father, as we're going to be thinking about in a moment as the band lead us, and those words, all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness, of the generosity of God. So we thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.